and joy are missing in many people's lives. We have a neighbor that we jokingly call Eeyore because she's very, very, very pessimistic. I just finished doing a program for a company, and one of the individuals there, all he saw was the glass half empty. Everything, every time he turned around, there was something negative to talk about as opposed to something positive to talk about. So the events of this world's just sucking the smiles right out of people's faces. So what should we do to turn those frowns upside down, as the saying goes? How can we gain a new perspective and keep it, not just to smile through the pain, but actually feel better about our lives and maybe even bring joy, not just our lives, but into the lives of all around us that we touch, that we can edify them. And not that we touch people with a hug or a pat on the back, but those who see us, but we don't necessarily know they see us, that are watching us, and as they watch, they wonder, how come those people are so happy and I'm not? And how can they get some of that happiness instead of trying to bring us down to their level of pain and misery? Why? Because, well, misery loves company, as the saying goes. So let's start with the word happy, and or happiness, and take a look at both the Hebrew and the Greek, and we'll find that the word happy is also translated blessed in some areas. But in Genesis 30:13, Leah, who's one of Jacob's wives, says, "Happy am I, for the daughters will call me blessed," or happy, "and she called his name Asher." So after going through pain of labor, she says, "I'm happy. I've got a boy child. I have this new life that's I'm holding here, and I'm comforted by that." Regardless of the pain she's been through, at this point in time, she's found this happiness. And then she called this son Asher, who in the Hebrew is actually Osher. And what does it mean? It means happy. I'm reminded of the seven dwarfs. Wasn't happy one of them? But they also had grumpy. You know, and how does happy help grumpy become happy? In Deuteronomy 33:29, it says, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountain of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, Israel. Who is like unto thee? O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency, and thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." Israel was chosen by the Lord. He promised them this land. He protected them. He kept them safe. And yet, they turned to idolatry. They rejected this help that came from the Lord, and they chose a different life. Why would somebody choose something that's negative as opposed to something that's positive? The Queen of Sheba, talking about Solomon after she met him, after she questioned him, she said, I didn't believe the reports about you. But in 1 Kings 10:8, she says, "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, that hear thy wisdom. Blessed or happy be the Lord thy God, which delighteth in thee, to set thee on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he thee king, to do judgment and justice." So not only was Solomon's servants happy, but the Lord was happy that he chose Solomon at this point, early in his kingship, his reign. And again, here we have the word blessed, which means happiness. It's from the same word we said earlier in Hebrew, it's Esher, and it means literally happy. Now, some people might think that Job was kind of like Eeyore. Not necessarily true. Job 5:17 says, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth." Oh, wait a minute. Someone that he rebukes? Someone who he chastises? We're supposed to be happy about that? Yeah, because therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty, for he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth, and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In famine he shall redeem thee from death, and war from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. For thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace, and thou shalt visit thy habitation, and shalt not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great. This is future, obviously. And thine offspring is the grass of the earth. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like as a shock of corn cometh in its season. Lo, this we have searched. It is so. Hear it, and know thou it, that for thy good. So the chastening of the Lord is for thy good. And those of us who have children, if we spare the rod, it's for no good. The rod, the chastening, the discipline, is to help keep them safe and live long, because they've been taught right from wrong. They've been taught things not to do. You know, you don't go run out in the street chasing a ball. You look both ways. So, speaking of children, Psalms 127, 3-5 says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate." So, those of us who have had children, you know, what joy they bring us. And while there may be some disappointment from time to time, or there may need to be some chastening from time to time, remember the joy that we had with them. And those of us who are now grandparents, we look back, we see our own children in the grandchildren, their actions that bring joy, the fun that they have. You know, Christmas, once we had kids that were teenagers, etc., just wasn't as much fun under the Christmas tree, because, you know, we could only afford to give them one big gift. That's all they wanted. Versus with the little kids, you know, they always want these little things. And so they just had this time of their life under the tree, opening, hopefully multiple gifts. In Psalms 128, 2-4, "Thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy thou shalt be, and it shall be well with thee. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall be the man be blessed that feareth the Lord." So when we respect the Lord and we show our children that respect, how blessed or how happy we are that they follow suit. Psalm 144:15, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Now, we hear that quote as well that says, happy is the nation, or blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And I don't know that we can say that about our nation any longer. You know, we hear about the tragedy in Australia, you know, one religious faction against another. We see the same thing happening here in this country. In Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord." Happy is the man that heareth me. How do we hear the Lord? I don't hear an audio, you know, unless I'm hearing listening to an audio book. His word is how we hear him. We pray and he hears us. He's given us his word so that we can hear him. Proverbs 3:13 says, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." You can get all the knowledge in the world, all the books that are out there, you can read. But unless you understand God's word, you're not going to find wisdom. In the New Testament, we see these same words used again, almost interchangeably. In Acts 26, verse 1, Paul is addressing Agrippa, who is judging him. He says, "Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." So Paul is being his own lawyer, if you will. Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy or blessed, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews." Now, why would he be happy about having to defend himself? I believe that that's because the false accusations, had he not been able to speak, they would have judged him, and so happy he was to be able to say, "Look, this is this real situation. This is what really happened." I don't know how many of you have been falsely accused of things. I have worked for some major companies, and the littlest thing can get a person to decide that they're going to make an accusation to a fellow employee for something that they did not do, but they know that HR will respond to, and HR will reprimand the individual. And it's their way of retaliation. The Jews were retaliating against Paul because he was talking to the Gentiles. And while in Acts 28 at this point in time, it was to the Jew first and then the Gentile, the fact that he was even talking to Gentiles, they were upset with. The word happy here in the Greek is makarios. It means blessed. It means well off. It means happy. In James 5:11, it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure," just like Job, which means that they were able to persevere. You've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Job endured, and therefore, it was because of the mercy of the Lord that he gave him a bountiful double what he had previously, restored everything and even more. Greek word is similar, comes from the same base. It means to beautify, to be fortunate or to be esteemed, to be counted happy. 1 Peter 3:14 and 15 says, "But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." There it is. We are a witness, not only to people around us, but to principalities and powers. In heavenly places. They are watching how we respond to the circumstances that we were put into. And this says, don't be afraid of their terror. The word terror there is the word phobos, which is where we get phobia. It means to be alarmed or frightened, to be exceedingly fearful or terrorized. And then the word troubled there is to be stirred or agitated. To be anxious would be another word that we would say, and it's the word tarasso. So, we're not to be troubled. We're not to fret, but we're to give an answer for the hope that is in us, for the happiness that's in us, because we can be happy that we know that death has no power over us, that God has already that Christ has already conquered that. 1 Peter 4:13, "But rejoice in as much as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part, He is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. There it is. Principalities and powers are watching us. Evil principalities are also watching. They are looking to put a thorn in our side. They are looking to discredit our witness, our testimony, if you will, in terms of our life, based on our responses. And so we are to consider it exceeding joy or happiness because the Spirit of God rests on us. And even though we may be spoken evil of, we know that Christ is speaking positive affirmations to the Lord about us, just as he did with Job. And the word here is for happy is interestingly the word for joy has to do with jumping for joy. It's to be exceedingly glad and to rejoice greatly. Paul uses this same word in Philippians in multiple areas. So let's take a look at this word blessed a little closer. In fact, in the very first Psalm, it says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, Ron just spent his entire hour talking about the leaven that leaveneth the whole lump. Talking about don't be in the presence of these individuals, whether we're eating or we're just in their presence, because we can be tainted. Even if we're not tainted, people can see us with them and say, what are you doing with them? It's just like with the Lord. What did the Jews say? Oh, he hangs out with sinners. He's hanging out with the bad people, the poor, the lepers. So he must be evil too. Again, false accusations. Again, here is Esher from the Hebrew. Psalms 32:2, blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. So the Lord, even though there might be false accusations, says, nope, there's no guile here. This person is one of mine. Psalm 34:8, O taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth or seeks refuge in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Now, I realize this is to Israel. I realize this is not our dispensation. I realize that this is not to us that we can take literally. But these individuals were persecuted. These individuals were fighting wars upon all sides. These individuals had kings that were evil, and yet those that trusted in the Lord, they're the ones that were blessed. Psalm 84:5, blessed is the man whose strength is in thee, and whose heart are always of them. So, understanding that our strength, in the Greek, it's dunamis, it's where we get the word power and might from, that happy are we when we have the strength of the Lord. Because only through that strength can we deal with some of the challenges that we're faced with. The sicknesses, the cancers, the death of family members, car accidents, etc. We know that those things happen. This is a sinful, polluted world. We know that's going to happen. It's our response that matters, knowing that our strength comes from him. Psalms 94:12. Again, we hear this, blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law, that thou mayest give him rest from the days of adversity, until the pit be digged for the wicked. For the Lord will not cast off his people, neither will he forsake his inheritance. You know, there are some who would say, that we are, looking through rose-colored glasses and don't see scripture properly, that that being futurists, seeing that prophecy has yet to be fulfilled, the resurrection is not yet past, they would call us wrong. They're called preterists, and they believe that what happened in AD 70 was in fact the fulfillment of all prophecy, and that Israel is completely divorced now and no longer God's people. They have in fact been forsaken. How can that be when God says they will never be cast off? They will never be forsaken. The word for adversity here has to do with calamity and affliction, for evil distress, for sorrow and wickedness. I mean, isn't that what we see people suffering through today? And they see the glass half empty. They see the fact that, you know, there's nothing to be happy about. I'm going to go back to Jeremiah 17:7. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. Having that hope is what brings us that joy. Matthew 11:6. Blessed is he, soever shall not be offended in me. So those who are not embarrassed of the Lord are not ashamed of proclaiming that they are Christians. They're the ones that won't be offended. They're the ones that are the happy ones. Romans 4:7. Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. I mean, if you can't get joy out of that, knowing that all that we've done is completely wiped off. It doesn't matter what we've done. And you know, there's fornicators, murderers, thieves, adulterers, all of that from a person's past is wiped clean. I mean, you're in a court of law, and the judge says, I should throw the book at you. I should put you away for your evil all these years. But then says, you know what? I'm going to let you go free. Your record is completely expunged. You're completely innocent. Go your own way. Christ said that to the adulterous woman who he said, go thy way and sin no longer. This was a habitual sin in her part. But he said, no one's going to cast this stone at you any longer, and neither will I. I will not condemn you. Go your own way. Sin no longer. You know how happy she must have been? And shouldn't we be as happy about that? You know, this world is so messed up that they don't see that there should be happiness and joy. An individual, and I've referenced this before, his name's Sean Aker, and Sean spent 10 years as a Harvard grad student on his doctorate studying happiness. He wrote a book called The Happiness Advantage. Interesting read, but basically he came away with five things that says, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, it's not marry an ugly wife that makes sure she's a good cook. Says five things. Say three things out loud every morning that you're grateful for. Second is the doubler. Write down one accomplishment or success you've had each day. And it will double the effect of the joy because you went through it, but by writing it down, you actually enjoy it a second time. Write 15 things down that you enjoy doing and do one of them every day. Maybe it's playing the piano. Maybe it's gardening. Maybe it's exercising. My wife says that I enjoy working out, and she doesn't. And that, you know, my discipline is based on the fact that I enjoy it. Well, that's not the case. I'd prefer to be sitting with a remote control watching a football game and watch other people exercise. You know, having a nice sandwich or, you know, some chips and dip and whatever. But I know that in order to be healthy and to do the things I want to do, I've got to continue to work out. So I need to go through that exercise, which is difficult, just as this is. The fourth thing he says is meditation, or you can read between the lines, prayer. He said, take 10 to 15 minutes every morning to think about something that is brings joy to your life. And then the fifth thing, he says, do something conscious out of kindness for someone else. Find one thing that you can do for somebody else that will bring them joy. I read some research recently as well. Being involved in training, I do a lot of behavioral science research with read it anyway. And they reiterated what Sean Anchor said. He said, every morning when you wake up, think of one thing that you're thankful for. One happy thing that happened the day before. Relive it. Think about it. And if you start your day that way, you begin to neurologically reset your brain thinking from a positive perspective instead of from a negative perspective. And I realize this is science, but it is scriptural as well. Think on these things we're told. In Philippians 3:3, it says, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The word rejoice here is the word chero. It means happy. It means be glad. It means to find joy and or to rejoice. And Paul uses this word in Philippians over and over and over. It's considered the happy book that Paul wrote. In Philippians 4:4, he gives us the formula. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful, be anxious, be fearful for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brethren, here's the formula. Here's the process. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on those things. Think on these things, excuse me. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. They witnessed Paul go through tribulation. They witnessed Paul being in prison and writing these prison epistles. And yet, he writes this book called the Happy Book, Philippians, which uses the word rejoice over and over and over again. And so there's the formula. Think on these things. That's what the research tells us resets our brain neurologically. So the Lord confirms that in his word. So here's a summary of what we just covered. Here's 25 things to be happy about. People saved by the Lord because he is their shield and thy help. The servants that stand continually with you and hear thy wisdom. The man whom God correcteth. The man that hath his quiver full of children. The man that feareth the Lord. The man whose God is the Lord. The man that findeth wisdom and getteth understanding. Happy is the man because I shall answer for myself. We will have that day to answer to the Lord, but we have an advocate in Christ doing it for us. Happy are those that endure. Be not afraid of terror or be troubled, but instead be happy. Those are happy that are partakers of Christ's sufferings. Happy are those that have the spirit of glory and of God that rests upon them. Happy is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor sit in the way of the sinners. Happy is his word that does make us meditate day and night. Happy is the man whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity. Happy is the man whose spirit in there is no guile. Happy is the man that trusteth or seeks refuge in him. Happy is the man that finds strength in him. Happy is the man that thou chasteneth, Lord, that you teach him. Happy is the man that trusts in the Lord, in whose hope the Lord is. Happy is the man that shall not be offended in me, in Christ. Happy are those whose iniquities are forgiven, whose sins are covered. The man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And happy is the man who thinks on things that are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, and of any virtue, and of any praise. And that's what we're going to do this week. We're going to think on things that are pure and lovely and of good report. And we're going to think on those, and we're going to find joy, find happiness. We're not going to think of darkness. We're going to think of light. Let me close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful that we can be joyful, especially in a time where there is so much strife and anguish out there. And hopefully we can bring joy to others. As you have brought joy to us, knowing that we have a Savior, knowing that the world celebrates the birth of Christ in the coming weeks, and that regardless of whether it was conception or whether it was birth, we believe conception was December 25th, birth was September 29th. And regardless of that time, we celebrate the birth of Christ, who then gave his life for us. And in death and resurrection, we can be happy, for we know the Lord. And we know that he has chosen us before the foundation and given us spiritual blessings in heavenly places. The world doesn't know that, but we do, and happy are we because of it. We pray this in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.